Do you enjoy pain?
The film.
Don't hurt.
He was fucking ripped.
He was ripped.
Yeah, I was turned on. When he was fucking his sister, I was really turned on. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Son of a bitch.
Oh, shit, did I just spoil it for you?
Welcome to our second episode. I am Dylan Fields. I write for Man I Love Films. It can be found at manilovefilms.com. I'm joined today by...
the co-founder of Man I Love Films and host of the Man I Love Films podcast, the MILFcast, Kai Parker, everyone. Settle down.
Did you want applause there? I'm not going to give it to you.
I'm editing this one. I'll plug it in.
Okay.
So should we talk about the title of the show? We've decided on the title of the show.
We have decided on a title, and it is the Dylan Fields Podcast, co-starring Kai Parker.
I don't think that's what we agreed on. I don't think that's 100% accurate.
I like that title, though. It's catchy.
Okay, you go with that. We decided film don't hurt. And I've decided you can only say it if you say, film don't hurt. It just sounds right when you say it in that voice.
I don't know if you're going to get me on board with that.
No?
No, especially not with that voice. It's all wrong.
All right. Well, you told me I couldn't wedge this in organically, so watch me do it organically right here. That title for our podcast is based on one of our favorite lines from one of our favorite films, but we're not going to say what it is.
Because really, it's been... spoiler alert, 25 years or so. If you don't know by now, you're not going to know. You don't want to know, and we don't want you to know, and we probably don't want to know you if you don't know it. Does
exactly.
That make sense?
Yeah, now we just ostracize half the people listening.
Good job.
What do we do now? Do we explain how the show works again? Does everybody know by now?
We could. It's the second episode. It's a conversation show, not necessarily about a list or about a film in general. It's Kai and I, for those, again, that somehow don't know already, are co-founders of a site together, great friends in real life, and we have been trying for a long time to get a podcast going for the two of us. And what we wanted was something that just felt like casual conversation, because that's pretty much what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. We're like Darren Aronofsky and Brad Pitt. We've been circling projects for years, trying to find something we could both work on. But we couldn't settle it down until now, until film don't hurt.
Did I miss something? Did they finally settle on something?
No, they have not yet settled. We have settled before they have settled, but for years now.
I still want to see Brad Pitt in The Fountain.
I do too. In fact, well, I think I've shared this on my other podcast, that the great rumor that I had heard is before Nolan had taken over the Batman franchise, there was talk of Darren Aronofsky doing a year one Batman movie in black and white starring Brad Pitt as Batman. And I would really have liked to have seen that movie, but I'm glad I didn't because I love Batman Begins so much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much stock I can put in news like that just because it really seems like, and I've noticed this a lot just in the last few days, every film you read about from the last 15 years or so, guess what? Brad Pitt was attached at one point.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
Were rumored to star at one point. Because, what do you know, he's one of the biggest fucking stars on the planet. So, yeah, he's rumored to be in everything. Everybody wants him.
Well, you've heard that thing, too, where basically directors get their wish list, and the first call-outs for major roles go to your Cruise, Smith, Pitt, Clooney, those guys. And then you have this next tier of actor, and then this next tier of actor, and it kind of falls into what, you know, you can do with the film, the screenplay.
So basically, we can just picture Brad Pitt starring in every film in the last 15 years.
I would say he could probably star in anything he wants.
Yeah, just about. He's done just about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And has shown that he's capable of doing just about all of it. But guess what?
What?
That's not what we're here to talk about today.
We're here to talk about a far superior actor.
I wanted to talk to Kai about the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Sandler. And more specifically, Adam Sandler films.
Yeah, I don't know how great this is going to be. What, are we just going to sit here and stroke his ego for a while? I mean, we're just going to vent on how great they are, right?
Well, I'd heard on a not-too-long-ago MILFcast, yourself and your co-host there, Heather Baxendale, doing a little bit of that stroking. You guys were talking about how you don't understand the hate that people have for...
Adam Sandler, yeah, absolutely.
For Adam Sandler films. I still love Adam Sandler films.
Hate is a strong word. I don't understand the hatred. I don't.
Why not? What don't you get?
Well, I like Adam Sandler. I found that, you know, I don't want to throw my whole argument, like, right up in front of the podcast, but essentially...
Wait, let me just throw this tidbit in for you. Including films that he's had, like, bit parts in, which should help the case, but doesn't. I think you have to add up, like, his last 10 projects to even get to 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Well, in all fairness, I would say there's he almost did what the Farrelly brothers did, which I think came out with some, like, pretty monumental comedies. I wouldn't say on the level of the Farrelly brothers, because I think that run of Something About Mary, Kingpin,
yeah,
Dumb and Dumber were probably monumental comedy for the 90s. I don't think anybody was doing anything. But you see the decline that came thereafter. I feel like Sandler kind of did that sort of thing, too. I think you have to kind of throw away his whole, you know, filmography prior to Billy Madison. With the exception of maybe Airheads... Even though he's not the star?
Right. No, I wouldn't even... Billy Madison is the first Adam Sandler film.
Okay.
There's
so
no doubt about it.
From there, you go Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Wedding Singer, then you have a slight decline with The Waterboy, then I feel like he did good again with Big Daddy, and then I feel like it just all went downhill from there. When you're talking straight films of his, I think you could make an exception for Punch-Drunk Love, which can tend to be a little bit polarizing. I don't know. Are you a fan of
it? Yeah, but I haven't seen it in a long, long time. I'm not talking about those. We'll get into the non-Happy Madison productions.
There's not a lot of those, though.
No, there's not. There's really not. And that's another thing I want to bring up. But you just said they all go downhill after Big Daddy.
Yeah, they do. In quality and how funny they are. Because I think Happy Gilmore is probably
over.
Yeah, exactly. I think Billy Madison is kind of like a fan favorite. I think people that grew up in the 90s love it. It just kind of struck a little bit of a chord. It's a silly movie. I feel like Happy Gilmore was Billy Madison fully realized, because the characters aren't that different. He's just not like a drooling idiot. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know that the quality of the comedy is there. But I still find his films entertaining, and we should mention that you heard this on my podcast when we were doing an episode of Cinematic Confessions, which is where we admit shit that we're a little embarrassed to admit as far as our, like, cinematic tastes. So, yes, I'm not proud of it, but what I have found over the years is that I can throw on a Happy Madison production and have a good time watching it, and... Again, maybe this goes back to a little bit of the discussion we had last week.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like eating a extra value meal from McDonald's. It's not good for you, and it's sustenance, and it's a little bit of indulging in, you know, what's bad for you. But, you know, I'm not going
to
tell everybody it was great.
While admitting what you've just said, you seem also to be contradicting yourself a little bit when you say you don't understand the hate.
Well, the levels of hate. The levels of hate. And we should mention that we are doing this, because these are coming out a few weeks after we record them. We are doing this on the heels of Grown Ups 2 beating Pacific Rim at the box office, which was everybody's fanboy favorite to take, you know, be the summer blockbuster this year. And by all accounts, the reviews on Twitter and everything I've read have been positive. That, like, Pacific Rim, and I saw it, I loved it. Pacific Rim is everything you could want of a summer blockbuster, short of the monumental ones like Jurassic Park.
It's Independence Day, if you ask me. I think that's its closest the closest film in terms of comparisons.
Yeah, and I love Independence Day, so I don't have a problem with that. But I think a lot of people are irritated that Grown Ups 2...
Yeah, myself chief among them, and that's probably another thing that spurred me wanting to talk about this with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are your feelings on the man?
I mean, I echo a lot of what you've said. The thing is, in particular, how, you know, where he started and where it kind of went downhill from. The thing is, I stopped caring about seeing them at a certain point. They became less funny. They became lower quality. So I don't understand why you want to continue watching them. I guess it just boils down to your need to see everything. They don't make me laugh. I mean, they're not a happy meal for me anymore. If they are, they're the kind of happy meal that is no good, you know?
Yeah, well...
I tried to watch That's My Boy last night, and you know what? I'll finish it. But I got through about half of it before I was just tired. But it was just, no, it doesn't make me laugh. And I don't even know if the problem lies with the films themselves. I think it might be an issue of the audience. Because... is it really that much less funny than something like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore?
Yes.
I'm not so sure it is. here was my big theory that I wanted to pose to you. I can't recall for certain. What are your feelings on the Star Trek or Star Wars prequels?
Star Wars prequels? I have said that I would rather live in a world where they exist than in a world where they don't. That being said, I'm not a fan of a lot of it. I am a fan of some of it. I enjoy parts of Revenge of the Sith. I really liked Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace, you know, outside of the 45 seconds where Darth Maul fights, you know, Qui-Gon and Kenobi, it's pretty much a waste.
See, that kind of shocks me. Because my big theory was that people... now, they have to be predisposed to like both of them in the first place, so that already might be a narrow group. But people that continue to like Adam Sandler films, mm-hmm. and just have an interest in watching them like yourself, should also enjoy the Star Wars prequels. And the reasoning is this. What was the big complaint, just philosophically, I guess you could say, about the Star Wars prequels from people like us, I know from people like me, was that Lucas made them for kids. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have the darker themes of the first three.
So, well, I think his argument, and the argument of a lot of people, we would probably disagree with this to an extent, was that the first ones were for kids, and now these are for kids. You know, those were for the kids of the 80s, these are for the kids of the late 90s and 2000s. Would you say that that's somewhat accurate, at least?
To a certain extent.
Whereas I think what we wanted, the fanboys of the original Star Wars films, wanted something that grew along with the audience.
Yeah, we wanted him to cater to us. We were the kids that he catered to in the first place.
Exactly, and we felt betrayed that he turned them into fucking kids' films,
right?
A little bit.
There's some dark themes in Revenge of the Sith, but,
well,
I mean...
you could say, by the same token, you could say there's dark themes in the original trilogy. But the general thinking is they're made for teenagers, whatever, and the later ones might be made for preteens, but they're generally not made for adults.
Okay.
They were not... and that's the thing with Adam Sandler films. He's never progressed. At least not with his productions.
Well, I will say this. First of all, let me go back to one thing you said, which was my need to see everything. I do see a lot of stuff, but don't feel compelled to kind of speak of it. I see it, and it's gone. So the fact that I mention these, it says a little something more. Again, not defending the quality of these films. However, to what you just said, there are certain films in the Happy Madison canon that I am able to enjoy with my children. So, to a certain extent, I can buy that theory. A lot of them fall outside of the Sandler films and more in the Happy Madison world, like the Kevin James stuff, like Here Comes the Boom and Zookeeper and shit like that. But there's also films like, you know, Bedtime Stories or Hotel Transylvania where I can, you know, I'm not going to watch I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry or You Don't Mess with the Zohan, but I can watch some of these kids, like movies with my kids, and there is that aspect of them. However, I wouldn't say they all cater to that.
No, I mean, by and large, they're all aimed at the same audience. The audience for That's My Boy is the same audience for Billy Madison, if you were to just look at demographics that they're shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Say it one more time. I missed part of that.
The demographics that they're shooting for That's My Boy are the same demographics for Billy Madison.
Yeah, with maybe a little bit of a harder rating.
Yeah, That's My Boy. I actually thought that one was a little bit outside. It seemed to be more of a harder R, whereas I think most of his fall in PG-13 land.
I think a lot of them kind of stroke the line between the two.
Sure. But, I mean, That's My Boy has nudity and...
yeah, it's definitely darker than Billy Madison, in the sense that it's more grown-up themes.
But at least in the tone, they all kind of fit the same tone for me.
Yeah.
From just go with it to click to Big Daddy. My point is that he's been making the exact same film essentially over and over for the last 20 years. He has not grown.
I don't feel like that.
He has aged. His films have not grown.
See, I don't feel like that. I feel like Adam Sandler is always Adam Sandler, so it tends to feel that way. It's very rare when he steps out of his thing until he does this shit like he does in That's My Boy and Little Nicky, where he tries to put on these accents or these weird hairs or try to do these weird characters, which is essentially trying to replicate what he did with Billy Madison, I guess. And then it doesn't. See, like, you have these films like 50 First Dates and, oh, God, what was the one you just mentioned? Just Go With It, where I feel like that's just standard rom-com shit that he's throwing out. It's so bland that that is truly the McDonald's meal. That's something my mom will like, my wife will like, and I can watch it if the kids are in the room and it's not a big deal. It's just so bland. It's not The Wedding Singer anymore.
A lot of people would disagree with you, at least as it pertains to 50 First Dates.
Why is that? Because people like that film a lot? Because it had a cute little, I don't know.
It's just like The Wedding Singer. It just isn't taking place in the 80s,
but
basically.
But it's not The Wedding Singer.
Maybe not in terms of quality, but it's not that far off either.
Yeah, I feel otherwise. And fuck
everybody. Agree to disagree. But see, I take issue with you saying that, Adam Sandler is Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler is pushing 50.
Yeah.
And I know that a big thing for every comedian that becomes an actor is, when are they going to get serious? When are they going to turn to the serious fare? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we've seen it with Robin Williams. We've seen it with Will Ferrell. Let me come back to Will Ferrell in a minute. I don't know if people are dying to see him be serious necessarily. We've seen it. We had Punch Drunk Love. We've had Funny People where it was this combination. And, you know, Judd Apatow's another side note I like to go on in a second. What I want from him is he can make his silly comedies forever, even though he's pushing, he's going to be a senior citizen in 15 years. You know, if he wants to keep making That's My Boy, that's fine. Mix it in every now and then, though. He has stopped doing that. Funny People was in 2009. His last, like, 8 projects have all been Happy Madison productions.
Yeah, but what did he... I mean, what's the one before that? 2007, he did Rain Over Me, and right before that, he did Click, which I think kind of toes the line, and then what? You have Spanglish.
You have Spanglish, and you have Punch Drunk Love, and that's really about it.
Yeah, so, like, every few years, he tends to try something on the dramatic or dark
side. I think he stopped.
Well, he hasn't done one in 3 years, yeah.
4 years, and I don't see anything on the horizon either.
No.
And you would think that as someone gets older, they would be doing more of these things and not less. I think he's grown complacent, and that's really the central issue here that I have with him, and I think a lot of people have with him, is that he's seeming to be doing the same thing for 2+ decades, or right around 2 decades now, and we're all in our 30s now. The people that were there for Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were in our teens, maybe college at the time. We're all pushing mid-30s, 40s now, and he's still making movies for teenagers. And this is where I say, I don't know if the films are really all that different, because Billy Madison, we love. We've seen it 100 times. We were also, like, 18 when it came out.
Well, you were.
16, 18, whatever.
I just like to remind people you're older than me.
I mean, just for comparison's sake, Billy Madison has a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's a shame.
That's My Boy has 20. I mean, okay, that's not great. You'd have to go back, but, I mean, generally he's just been trending down for a long time. I stand by my point that he's making essentially the same film. Whether or not you find it funny or not depends on how old you are and how many times you're willing to watch it, because these things just get funnier as you watch them more and more.
Okay, let's take him out of one for 1 second. Do you like Adam Sandler? Do you enjoy what he's capable of delivering in the right situation?
What is that anymore?
I don't know. The idea, like... Take him out of the situation. Look at kind of what he's done with other people. Do you think he does better when he's kind of put in somewhere? Do you think he has talent to where he can pull off a dramatic role or he can deliver funny?
Yeah, I thought Funny People was a really good film. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was a great balance for him of playing serious with comic. I think that kind of role would be awesome for him if he could get a bunch like that. I'm not asking him to be in horror films or thrillers or anything like that, but
no.
You know, just mix in something where you're playing an adult.
Yeah,
that's his thing. Is he's always playing children. Look, that's my boy. He's a child. Grown ups. Hello, that's the fucking title. These are man children, right? I don't know how far back you have to. He fucking played a woman in Jack and Jill, which I won't bother to see. I know you saw
it. I will say that Jack and Jill is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, there is no defending that film. But I can't see Grown Ups 2 being as bad. And again, I'm one of these guys that I understand that Despicable Me could have beat Pacific Rim. That just happens with animated films. But I cannot believe Grown Ups 2 beat Pacific Rim. But
no, yeah. I find it disgusting.
But that says something right there that he's. I mean, that, say what you want about what he does. He is the Big Mac dude. Every movie he makes is going to make $100 million.
And you know what? In 500 years, the Academy Award winning film for Best Picture is going to be called Ass, and it's going to be nothing but flatulence for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's Idiocracy.
That's all it makes me think of when Grown Ups 2 beats anything at the box office, much less Pacific Rim.
But we agree that, you see, my big problem with Sandler is that he always plays this guy that can beat everybody up. Like, there's always, like, a machismo thing, and maybe that's the man-boy syndrome. You know what I mean?
Well, I really know what you mean, because I watched part of That's My Boy, and he sure pictures himself as a youth as being some, like, tough guy.
Yeah, he's always like a tough guy, but it's never out on the surface. He's the funny guy, but if you fuck with him, he'll kick your ass. It was that way with Happy Gilmore, even Billy Madison. A lot of his pictures, go back and watch them.
At least he was young then.
Yeah, that's true.
And his thing wasn't so much that he was tough, it was that he was fucking psycho. So you could buy, you know, you don't want to mess with crazy.
Yeah.
That guy might be small, but don't mess with him, he's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. My question, though, is this really a bad thing, or is Adam Sandler basically living the life we all want? Which is to say, you can have your own production company. We'll give you money to go do whatever you want to do, because you're constantly making money for us. Because I can't assume Grown Ups, outside of the cast, I mean, he basically uses almost the same directors all the time.
It has way higher budget than you'd think it does.
What do you think?
I looked it up. I don't remember. I'm going to look it up now for you.
Yeah, guesstimate.
I was shocked.
Guesstimate.
It was like, I want to say it was $80 million.
Okay, $20 million to.
It's $80 million. Yeah.
Okay, that's
for Grown Ups too. Don't. But if I told you that, wouldn't you think, okay, Adam Sandler's in it. He's going to get $20 million, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Even though he's making it, you'd think he would take less and just take points on the backside. But yeah, whatever.
And I'm sure Chris Rock probably.
No, none of those guys should be getting more than five.
Chris Rock got more. I'll bet you Kevin James got more.
I'm shocked. Those guys should just be happy to be there.
Kevin James is carving a nice little movie career for himself.
That film should not have a budget more than $40 million, no matter what.
Well, it didn't once you factor in all the salaries, I bet you. I swear. But let me ask you this. That's what it comes down to. Is he not living the dream? Because essentially they're saying, we're going to give you, to a certain extent, a blank check. I don't think $80 million is high for that film based on today's budgets. It's ridiculous, but yeah, it is what it is. But we know you're going to make 100 plus on this in your first few weeks. They've already made 45 in the opening weekend, so, I mean, they're off to a good start. He has always kind of casted, you see, like, a few of his Lifetime buddies that pop up in all his films.
No, I'm glad you brought this up.
He brings those guys in, but now he's doing the thing, which is kind of the reason I wanted to see Grown Ups in the first place, which was him getting back together with all the SNL crew and to watch those guys kind of fuck around on screen. And yeah, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't necessarily what I would have wanted. You know, I'd much rather get a Ghostbusters where I see a lot of the SNL and, you know, SCTV kind of alum do their thing. But it was fun to watch. And that's what I'm saying. Is he not really just, yes, he's become complacent, or is he just in a really good position doing what the fuck he wants to do?
Yes and yes. Like I said, I'm really glad you brought this up. Make no mistake, I don't hate Adam Sandler like a lot of people do. I actually really respect what he's done with the way that he has been loyal. It's amazing that somebody has been as loyal as he's been for as long as he's been. it just so happens that he's been loyal to people that make crappy films. Dennis Dugan and what's his name, Faraci and whatnot.
Dugan has become his Adam McKay. Dugan is the guy he goes to and is like, this is my new thing, come direct.
He's got like two or three directors that he cycles through.
He uses Dugan a lot.
He does. I think Frank Caracci is the other guy. He's made a few of them. Anyway, I really do appreciate that. I think he's a very smart businessman. You look at Happy Madison's lineup or resume, filmography, and it's hit after hit after hit. The guy is very good at doing what he's done. But on the flip side, look at somebody like Clooney. Clooney is like the movie star I would say I respect more than probably any other, because Clooney was on ER, he made a shitload of money. He tried to become a film star, he did Batman, got paid a ton, and then said, you know what, I've done my selling out, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want from now on. And he's made nothing but genius choices ever since then, for working on 15 plus years now. Mm-hmm. Why can't Adam Sandler do some good with some of his power?
Good question. But define good. I mean, Clooney's films, while critically received well, are they hits? Did Good Night and Good Luck make a lot of good money? A lot of money? I had to throw good there again.
Look at the Ocean's films. He mixes the smaller ones with the bigger ones, and he mixes them very well. Brad Pitt has a very similar career, and it's no surprise that they're two of the biggest stars out there. But these are guys that are, I feel, principled and have made that balance right.
See, I feel different about Pitt, because I feel like when Pitt chooses to do a film, it becomes a Plan B production. Whereas I feel like Clooney develops projects. I look at Clooney as a filmmaker and as an actor. I don't give him credit for the Ocean's films to a certain extent. I feel like I give more of that to Soderbergh and the right place, right time. I mean, they have a real close friendship. I believe they were producing together.
I'm not giving him all the credit, but I mean, in terms of the balance and the ability to bring in dollars as well as make the passion project, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making just movies that he loves that aren't ever going to make money. He throws in a blockbuster or a quasi-blockbuster, you know, whatever you might call it in his world. It's not the same type of blockbuster. He's not going to be in Pacific Rim, but, you know,
No. He'll
throw in something that is capable of making money mm-hmm. every now and then, and, you know, it's a great balance. Sandler, I love that he's loyal to all of those people. You know, I can't remember the names of the guys, but, you know, the guys that were in Grandma's Boy, the guys that were in The Water Boy with him. There's, like, those three guys that show up in, like, every single one of his films, and God bless them. And, you know, Nick Swartzen's been thrown into that mix as well, and Schneider's been there.
Well, and it goes beyond that. Like, Samberg pops up in Grown Ups 2 after being in That's My Boy. Milo Ventimiglia has popping up again in Grown Ups. He's very loyal to people he works with in general.
Absolutely, and I love that about him. I just wish that he would take his power and make some better films with them.
But, you mentioned Clooney, and here we're talking about, you know, I don't want a serious actor. I wouldn't consider Clooney Brando by nature. He seems to have a good sense of humor about him, and he's a little more down to earth. And what's the word? You can access him better. I don't know. That's not the right word. But I mean, we're talking about,
he's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, but we're also talking about Clooney and what is essentially a stand-up comedian. And those guys, you know, sometimes they think it's fun to laugh at dick and fart jokes, and there's a lot of dick and fart jokes.
That's fine. Let's go back to another person I wanted to side note for later, which is Ferrell.
Okay.
Ferrell's a very comparable actor and just star to Sandler. The difference with Ferrell is he takes chances. He creates things on his own. He created Funny Day or Die, for Christ's sake. Not everything he does is a mega hit, but, you know, I would rather he take a chance with Casa de Mi Padre and fail than just continue to make Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and so on and so forth forever and ever.
We should say that Anchorman and Talladega Nights are a step above in comedies to most Sandler fare.
Well, we're not going to get a perfect comparable, but, you know, it's pretty close in terms of guys coming from SNL, similar age, and mostly known for, I mean, not just mostly known, but they are predominantly in comedies with a very infrequent
dip drama into the other or something interesting. Yeah.
But
Feral Padre was Feral's clique.
Yeah.
Without comparing the films to one another, that was his sidestep into a different kind of comedy. I don't know.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. I thought you meant CLIQUE.
No.
I don't think Click is all that much different than any of the others. I've seen it. It's, you know.
It's a little more dramatic than comedic. I mean, it's still a comedy, but it's a darker comedy than most of the other fare he does.
I don't see it as that much different than 51st Dates. It might end a little more, you know,
really?
Depressingly. Yeah, it's the same thing. Come on, he's doing slow motion with the chick running down the street.
Yeah, that's
they've got the O'Doyles in it, for Christ's sake.
Are the O'Doyles in it? Really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they're the next door neighbors.
Fuck, O'Doyle rules.
O'Doyle does rule.
Here's the thing. I think it goes back to your argument of the fact that he's probably grown a little bit complacent, and it's because he can. I mean, in fairness to him, he has a formula that's fucking working. We may not appreciate it. We may see the potential for more and want that more, but he's putting out $100 million plus movies, and why the fuck should he change? Everything seems to be working for him. And he's working with his buddies.
I guess. At what point it's like, do you get bored? I get bored doing the same thing for 3-4 years. This guy's been doing it for 20 years.
I told you, I'm getting bored of it. His last real comedy that I
loved... No, not you necessarily, him. Why isn't he getting bored of it?
Because what is there to be bored of? He just got to go make a movie with, like, some of his best friends.
Okay. He's probably been hanging out with them for 20 years. It's not like they've never seen each other. The point is, the guy's got money to burn... he can do pretty much whatever he want. That doesn't mean that it's the right thing to just keep doing the same thing and to just do whatever you want. You know, people... I mean, and you more power to you for doing that, and if that's what you want to do, that's your prerogative, but that's your answer as to where the hate is coming from, I guess.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think it deserves hate. I guess hate is the strong word.
It's quote-unquote hate.
The things I have heard about Sandler in the last few years, I was like, Jesus Christ, these people just do not like the fucking guy, but who's seen his movies then? Because they're doing better than half the shit that gets put out.
Well, it depends on who you're listening to, because obviously...
I'm listening to the cha-ching of the cash register when he puts a movie
in. No, I mean who you're listening to that hates him, because, yeah, the people that are going to see it are middle America.
I'm not listening to those people. Let's put it that way. Yeah, the other thing is, what would you feel if, like, okay, you come out with Punch Drunk, talk about the desire to step into the foray of dramatic acting, okay? Mm-hmm. So you come out with Punch Drunk Love, an impressive young director, everybody critically acclaimed director, everybody gives you a lot of props for your, you know, dramatic performance. And then what are the ones we mentioned that he goes after that? You have Spanglish, Rain Over Me, Funny People, which to a certain extent is a little bit of a decline with each one. Funny People maybe a little bit up, but I mean, Funny People got a lot of mixed reviews for being too long, not having much of a point.
Right. I'd put Funny People second, just if we're going to rank those.
True. So every time he does drama, let's say, it's less and less acclaimed, but every time he puts out one of his silly comedies with his buddy,
it's also less and less acclaimed.
Well, true, but it makes $100 million and people are paying to see it, and everyone at the studio is telling you, do it again. Oh, my God, it was amazing. You're so funny. Jesus Christ, Adam, suck my dick.
That's fine. Do I have to respect that, though?
No.
Okay.
But you don't have to hate the man for living the American dream.
I don't I don't hate the man.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the haters.
Okay.
Don't
I want to hear from these haters.
Hate the game, not the fucking... What is it?
The player, not the game.
I wish I was black right there. Damn.
Keep working on it. I don't really know what we've solved.
I don't know if we solved anything. Are you going to see... Let's go back to our topic from last week. Are you going to see Grown Ups 2?
No, God, no.
Never?
I won't see the first one.
You've never seen the first one? I enjoyed the first one.
No, I'm not watching that.
As an SNL fan, how can you not?
Chris Rock is never good in movies.
He's not so funny.
Maybe not never, but almost never.
He's pretty much never funny in movies.
Really, Spade?
Yeah, David Spade.
Oh, I mean, are there other SNL people that pop up? Kevin Nealon, maybe? I wouldn't be shocked if
everybody's favorite SNL alum, Rob Schneider.
Oh yeah, I assume that. So yeah, what am I showing up for? I hate Kevin James.
Why do you hate Kevin James? I love Kevin James.
I think he's criminally unfunny.
Really?
Yeah, I watched Just Go With It, and I was ready to write him off at that point. The only reason I watched That's My Boy is probably just so I could talk to you about it a little bit.
Well, I guess we should mention, like, the reason I came to know of That's My Boy was we were doing a thing for a while called the Hollywood Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
Are you still doing that? I'm not.
No.
Okay. So essentially you would trade in commodities of films that were coming out. You would buy stock. If it did well, you would make money on that stock. You would sell it, so on and so forth. So I bought a lot of stock in this knowing that Sandler movies all make $100 million. And at the time, it was supposed to be Sandler and Seth Rogen. That obviously didn't happen. It ended up being Andy Samberg.
Probably a better call.
Yeah, I love Andy Samberg. I think he's fucking hilarious. And here's the thing. I saw this film. I knew it was going to be the shit one. From the second he came out with the bad wig and the fake Boston accent and all the 80s references, I knew That's My Boy was going to be stupid. But I ended up laughing as the movie went on and on. Then my wife came in the room, and she doesn't watch that stuff because she won't watch rated R movies.
Right.
But she heard some parts, and she started laughing out loud, and she got sucked into it for a few minutes until she had to, like, kind of leave the room, and she's like, that was really funny. I said, I know, and it's ridiculous, right? And she said, yeah. And it is, but I was laughing, so what does that say? That's My Boy is one of the funniest, like, Sandler films I've seen in a while.
I think you just proved my point that they're the same quality that they were 20 years ago.
That's fine.
But you know what? The rest of the audience grew up.
You know what? I love you, Adam Sandler, because I know you listen to episode 2 of the Film Don't Hurt podcast.
Well, it's time to end episode 2 of the Film Don't Hurt podcast, but before we go, as we always do, this being the second time, what's your takeaway, Kai?
My takeaway is that Adam Sandler should continue to do whatever the fuck he wants because it makes him a shit ton of money, and he's banging a supermodel and calling Dan Patrick Show and being a Jets fan and hanging out with his buddies, and I like him. Toodaloo!
My takeaway is that Kai likes Happy Meals.
I do. They come with a toy.
And you gotta collect them. Do you open them? Do you take them out?
The Happy Meal toys I want, but none of them.
You're willing to.
Okay.
Ones, yeah. Alright, that's gonna do it for episode 2 of Film Don't Hurt. I'm Dylan Fields.
And I'm Kai Paca.
Toodaloo.
Adios.